Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, Chief Joel Schultz needs no introduction. We've been covering his stuff for years. I was going to say decades, but I won't joke around and play with you on that one. No, it has not been decades. We're in our 10th season, but we have been talking about his stuff, his articles for years. So, thank you so much, Chief Schultz, for joining the show. Also, Dan De La Cruz, crowd favorite. He's building a fan base already, and he's with Compliant Technologies at ComplianteTechnologies.com. And, of course, we've all heard Dan talk about my favorite product that they have, the glove. And we're going to be talking about some more instances where that could have been beneficial. So thanks for being on the show, Dan. A shout out to our sponsors. You know, our title sponsor is Gulls at Gulls.com, and Dan's company, Compliant Technologies, is our satellite sponsor. Thanks to them. I think we're on week 11 now, Dan. I mean, it's just on satellite radio. This is we started on Cinco de Mayo, May the 5th, and you guys are just jamming, helping us out with satellite radio. And we are growing by leaps and bounds. So thank you guys so much. Also, gunlearn.com, bluethegold.com, mymedicare.life, and Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And thanks to them, we're reaching about 1.5 million people right now on stream. Two Bells, the Methanol online store at leoroundtable.com. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at tampafp.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com and lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make this show happen. And now, what in the world are we talking about today? You know, our first story is the main topic. They have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. Breaking news from the Tampa Free Press and RBM News. Two women killed and a trooper wounded in a Kentucky church shooting. We've had another church shooting, guys. This is not going to get any better. We need to be vigilant, be on our guard, no matter who you are, where you are, but especially if you're active or retired Leo. And we'll go into more about that in a few minutes. We've also got an update story. Retired police sergeant gets 6 months in prison for a taser attack on a man in a mental health crisis. So some of you might be surprised to see that. We got the Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputies. They fatally shoot a burglary suspect who tried to stab a woman. And then we've got a story that Dan De La Cruz is going to be all over. We have a CCTV body cam footage also. It shows two brothers assaulting police officers at a Manchester airport across the pond in the UK. And some of that's hard to watch. If they simply would have had one product that Dan will tell you about, this story would have ended a lot differently, I think. Then Baton Rouge police released body cam of a fatal shooting suspect that's armed with scissors, of all things. And we got Orlando police releasing body cam video of an arrest that went viral. And then we've got another one, not good. New Mexico sheriff's deputy hurls a baby rabbit to its death as the supervisors laugh. That's a story involving that if we have time to get to it. Then we have a man fires a flare gun at a Marion County sheriff's deputy. And that's the guy was already shirtless, and then he became pantsless. And we'll talk more about that. If we have time to get to that, it would have been another opportunity for the glove, I think, as well. So, guys, moving along, let's get to our first story. Look, it's breaking news, and there's new information that's coming out all the time. As I read this, I'm sure there's going to be more information that has been released that I'm unaware of, after the show prep. But we and again, names, at least at this point, had not been released, but we had two women were tragically killed and a Kentucky state trooper was wounded in a series of events that culminated in a shooting that happened at a place. It was a Richmond Road Baptist Church, and that's in Southwest Lexington. And so that happened on Sunday. Now, this story is coming from the TampaFreePress.com and RedVoiceMediaNews.com. And it goes on to say that the suspect's identity was not released, at least at this time, was also killed by Lexington police. So that's the best news out of this. So it starts on Sunday morning when a Kentucky state trooper, he does a traffic stop near Bluegrass Airport. And according to Lexington Police Chief Lawrence Weathers, the suspect shoots the trooper, then he carjacks another vehicle, and he flees and he goes to the Richmond Road Baptist Church. Now, when he gets to the church, he opens fire on individuals that are there. Preliminary information says that the suspect may have had a connection to the individuals at the church, according to Chief Weathers, and the motive behind the initial shooting of the trooper and the subsequent attack at the church remains under investigation. And it goes on to say that Lexington police responded to the scene at this Richmond Road Baptist Church, and they engaged with the suspect, ultimately resulting in his death. By all accounts, from what I see initially, it looks like the police responded fairly quickly and that they were Johnny on it when this happened. The wounded state trooper is currently receiving medical attention at a nearby hospital. Last we heard, identities of the two women killed in the church shooting, unfortunate. and they have not released their identities yet. So that's what we have. Dr. Schultz, we're seeing more and more of these.
Yes. And, you know, there are a lot of motives, if you don't mind me going into a little bit more about the issue of church security, a lot of motives, you know, domestic issues, people that have gotten sympathy from one side or the other and created dissension, mental illness. You know, I'm sure you've noticed that for some reason, a number of mentally ill people like to claim that they are God or that they're Satan, or there's always often some religious overtones. I know I was attacked by a guy once who said he was Satan and I was Jesus, or he might have been Jesus and I was Satan. But anyway, it's not an unusual theme. And so that, you know, that can draw people into that place. And, you know, the church has been associated with some, not this church, but the church in general, Christianity in general, has been associated with pro-life and gender ideology stances that can cause some political adversaries to attack. It can also be a place of refuge, which initially it sounded like this guy was just, oh, there's a church, I'll go in there, that'll be safe. But that's probably not the case. And the feds, their intelligence bureau has been issuing warnings about potential attacks on churches. And I don't know if you've heard the latest rumor, it's not been verified, and it's not been on mainstream media outlets, that this attacker, who has been identified, had some Palestinian leanings, some pro-Palestinian leanings, and they supposedly are showing a Facebook or social media post where he has the kafifa, or whatever you call it, kind of garb. I don't know, A, if that's true, and B, if that would have anything to do with it. I also note that even in the initial report, the trooper stopped the suspect because of a license plate reader hit, but nobody said why that was entered in an LPR or ALPR database. So be curious to see what that is. So he goes to the church after he hijacks a car. He goes to the church, apparently intentionally, goes into the basement, asks for somebody by name. That person's sister and mother and some other siblings go to that church. And so that particular lady wasn't there that the shooter asked for. So he shoots the one that is there. So that was the sister of the intended victim. I think that was the first one that got shot. That was inside in the basement in the kitchen. Then he goes outside and shoots the mother of the person that he asked for, and injures two other people that I believe were related. Everybody was related in this congregation, were related to the two initial fatality victims. So it's really a complex case. There are some terrorism shadows over this, domestic violence kind of things. May have been just a place of refuge. So we'll learn more as it goes along. But the cops did a good job, obviously a fast enough response, not to prevent the two deaths, but to prevent additional deaths, and took him down. I think they referred to it as securing the suspect. You know, we just can't say we killed the guy. We've got to have some kind of euphemistic language on that. But really tragic case, and kind of a warning flag for anybody who's in any type of religious institution. You know, mosques have been attacked. You know, Chief Noller, Pueblo had a bomb plot against the temple there. The Sikh shooting, I think, in Wisconsin a couple of years ago at a Sikh temple. So, Christians are not the only ones that are subject to these attacks, but it is an alarming trend.
Agreed. I had heard initial reports that we had two men, two women shot. The women died. The guys were messed up, but were, I guess, in the hospital getting treatment, last I heard. Is that about what you heard?
That's the last I knew, yeah. And I'm not sure how. I think the trooper was probably more seriously hurt than the initial reports indicate. I think that was turned in. It was by an airport, not associated with the airport, but it was by an airport, and apparently civilian witnesses called that in, which was perhaps the reason for the fast police response in the area.
Yeah, guys, if we need more good guys with guns, you know. And the sad thing is, in this day in this world that we're in, and it's not going to get any better. The situation is not, it's not getting any better. So there is a call to arms, if you will. Look, if you're not comfortable carrying a gun, please don't carry a gun. But especially for Leos, that's why the Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act, you know, or HR 218 was initiated for people that are that have the law enforcement training, the things that we've gone through, that we can neutralize threats. There's a lot of us out there. There's 750,000 active cops, but when you start including all the retired Leos out there, that number is pretty impressive. It grows exponentially. So, well, guys, we've got about a minute and 20 seconds before we go to our first commercial break. So let me go ahead and go to our next one here. On this one, ground.news, retired police sergeant gets 6 months in prison for a taser attack on a man in a mental health crisis. Chief Schultz already mentioned about the mental health crisis in this country. That's also not going to be getting any better unless we change things. But Sergeant Mario Stewart, a former police sergeant for the Mount Vernon Police, he was sentenced on Wednesday to serve a half a year in jail, followed by an equal period of house arrest for excessive use of force during a 2019 incident. So it happened a while ago, about 6 years ago. In January, Stewart admitted to violating the civil rights of a 20-year-old by repeatedly tasering him while he was restrained during a health emergency. And prosecutors said Stewart, or cop, tased the victim 7 times in about 2-minute period after the man who was cuffed and restrained grabbed the strap that he was refusing to release. And Stewart's attorney, Kevin Conway, shared that his client felt that he did not intend to cause harm or believed that the officers had medical personnel present were increasingly at risk if the taser was not used. So that was the justification. Look, it's time for our first commercial break. I'll finish this up when we come back. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we know we can get our gear from a lot of different sources. And then when you throw the online mix into it, the choices are almost limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody here about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. Even our panelist, Captain Brett Bartlett, says they pretty much have everything but except for guns and ammo. So if you haven't been to Gauls lately, please go to Gauls.com. Also, they have gift cards. We'll give away a couple every week on the show. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card at Gauls.com, and they'll be your new best friends. You have a lot of options, guys. So again, Gauls.com. Go there today. You'll be glad that you did. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. And you know, when we left off, I was talking about a story here. And, you know, let me just bring you back to the title. The title was Retired Police Sergeant Gets 6 Months in a Prison for a Taser Attack on a Man in a Mental Health Crisis. I already described kind of what he did. The attorney shared some thoughts, but a federal judge emphasized that the sentencing serves as a clear warning to law enforcement that they must adhere to established rules and that the community deserves protection from misconduct by officers. So when I say that, let me just point this out. This is not a common occurrence, and we're covering it on the show because we want to show that, look, no one hates bad cops more than good cops, right? They make us all look bad. So I think the system for the most part works. We identify bad cops, things in this situation or the next one with the rabbit killer. You know, well, these guys get exposed and the right thing happens. They go to jail. If it's bad enough, they get decertified, or maybe they have an internal affairs thing where they get slapped on the wrist with a suspension or whatever. But the system, for the most part, seems to work. But there is a human component to law enforcement. And whenever you get human guys that are going to be wearing the badge, just like doctors and attorneys, you know, there's some bad actors, some bad characters, you know, and all that. Dan De La Cruz.
Just for my information, because I couldn't ascertain what happened. You said 7 taser deployments. Now, were those actual taser deployments, or was he drive stunning him, trying to get him to let go of
it? He was holding on to. I got the impression that at least the first one was a deployment. I think that they were. I think it's better classified as 7 rides. So I suspect that the probes were deployed the first time, and that they you know, he didn't redeploy he wouldn't have had to redeploy the probes. Just pull the trigger again is what I'm assuming. So, I think he did 7 5-second rides on that guy within that 2-minute period. Wow. Yeah. So that's like 35 seconds of a taser ride. Yeah. And, I mean, they didn't go into the script. I mean, you can hold the trigger down and ride that sucker longer, but, But yeah, but now, of course, back in the day, you know, we didn't have limitations on taser use or restrictions, but a lot of agencies now have put restrictions on using the taser more than three times, or, you know, some of them are more restrictive. Now we have tasers that have multiple fires. You know, before when the taser I carried, and was it a 26? You had a cartridge, and after you fired it, the probes connected. You were good to go. You could give the guy, continue to give the rides on the taser by simply pull the trigger, let go. It gives a 5 second ride, and you have to pull it again. And the only way the bypass is, if you hold the trigger down, it'll stay on, but you don't have to redeploy. The wires and the probes are still attached, so you can still do that ride. And now the ones that they have multiple fires from a single taser now, without having to switch the cartridges out manually, which is kind of nice. But once those probes are in there, you've got a good connection. You can keep that joy ride going. So I'll next time we get together, I'll hook you up, Dan. you're gonna hook me up with a glove. I'm gonna return the favor. Chief Schultz.
Well, you know, he wasn't just handcuffed, the suspect. He was in a restraint bag, and I actually had to look that up. And he was basically kind of cocooned in the legs, and was apparently trying to grab some kind of strap. And you know, a lot of this is, and I'm not saying this to encourage officers to speak mistruth. But a lot of this is how you write the report. He said this guy was grabbing at a strap, and he thought it was some kind of threat to everybody. And it just wasn't believable. I was asked to, as a taser instructor, to talk to in a hearing with an officer who had drive stunned a female who was restrained on a gurney that was spitting at the first responder personnel. Which is a felony assault in Colorado. And the officer had no legal duty to retreat, didn't have a spit bag, you know, right away. And I'm not sure, I ended up not speaking at that hearing because I had another obligation. I don't know what I would have said or what they would have asked. I have a hard time believing that this would have been justified no matter how you phrase it.
Yeah, and that's a good, I'm glad you brought that up, Chief, because if he was restrained, Dan, you may be right. It may have been a drive stun. I mean, I could see in my mind, I was thinking a deployed probe one time, and then he kept riding the guy. But at that close quarter distance with somebody that was stationary like that, it could have been drive stuns. I wish they gave him more information on the article.
Well, when you see in an article that a taser is described as a stun gun, you that kind of blows the credibility of the reporter.
Yeah, good point. All right, guys, we've got about a minute and 44 seconds before we go to our next commercial break. So let's go in and go to our next story. And this has got a video component. And the second video is the one that Dan will be over this one, too. But the second one is really designed for Dan. So Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. We have LASD. So that's Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. These deputies, they fatally shoot a burglary suspect who tried to stab a woman. Guys, this is a sensational video. The good guys win, but there's a lot going on. It's fluid. It goes down fast, and it's typical of what goes on in police work. We're in Linwood, California. There's a 45-year-old man named, and there's a bad guy named for Federico Rodriguez, and he's suspected of breaking into a home and trying to stab a woman in Linwood. This was on Monday, and he ends up being shot and killed by deputies. Now, according to the L.A. County Sheriff's Department, the deputies respond to a report of a residential burglary. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning on Monday, and when they get there, they contact the resident of the location. She tells them there's a male suspect. He's armed with a knife, and he'd broken into the residence and that he's still inside. Plus, the resident also said that there was an elderly female family member that's still inside the home. It sounds like they kind of booked feet from the house and left grandma in the house, maybe. I don't know, but that's the way it kind of sounds. So before we go down the rabbit hole too much on this, we're going to go the commercial break. We come back, we'll finish this off, but stick with us, guys. It's going to get really good. We'll be right back. All right, guys, now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com, and they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product we all know by now, it's called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries, and yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or a conducted energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually eliminate weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and their revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already gone to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on approaches that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that domain name, it is ComplianTechnologies.com. Now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to BlueTheGold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to BlueTheGold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up this week, July the 16th, cat out of the bag searches. Go to BlueTheGold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game because, frankly, you're an agency you cannot afford not to. BlueTheGold.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block. I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Joel Schultz, and we have Dan Dela Cruz from Compliant Technologies. And, of course, my favorite product of theirs is the Glove. We've been talking about a pretty viral situation here. LASD deputies fatally shoot a burglary suspect who tried to stab a woman. This guy, it's a burglary in progress. And when the cops get there, the woman screaming, they make entry, into the house. They break in the front door, and the main deputy, we had a female. Look, the main deputy's got to break in the door. There's a female having a little bit of a difficulty doing that. And so he pretty much leads the charge. And so we're watching from the female deputy's body cam first. So you don't really get to see what the male deputy sees when he pulls the trigger. You just kind of like hear the shots go off. But then we get to watch his body cam, and wow, he turns the corner. He breaches the door, goes in, and it's a little hallway. And once he sticks his head inside the doorway into this hallway, looks to his left, bad guys on top of this woman, and I guess it's the elderly female that was left behind in the home. That's got to be another story that we'll cover later on. But this bad guy's on top of her, and he's trying to stab her. And man, I'll tell you, this deputy, there's no hesitation. He lights this dude up, and he neutralizes the threat. And so I just described to you not only what we're hearing, but also what we actually see on his body cam, too. It's really incredible footage. Suspect was struck by gunfire from at least one deputy. The article says, I think it's fairly safe to say this is the only deputy that fired. And our bad guy, the best news in the story, he was later pronounced dead. So it ended great. So that's how this thing went down. Note that there was a red laser that appeared on the bad guy when shots were fired. I did not see taser. So this is they're letting their cops carry lasers on their duty issued firearms, which I like, and especially in a close quarter situation like this. And in this situation, I wouldn't even say Dr. Schultz, that seconds matter. I mean, we're talking less than seconds. I mean, this guy's in the process. You're watching that knife go up and down, it was pretty dramatic. Commentary on this, guys, we've got about 8.5 minutes before we go to our next commercial break. So, but a pretty wild one. And, I will add that, these videos, if we cover a video that you have to see, you know, it's pretty hard to play a video in a live show. So we do get our stuff from This Is Butter's channel at Rumble, but we also have a Rumble channel. So we'll take a copy of this live show and our producer will embed every video that we talk about, including this one. So if you want to see this particular video, if you simply go to our Rumble channel called Leo Roundtable the very next day, you will, and that we do this Tuesday through Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern time, we'll have a copy of this live show. And we will have embedded every video into it, and pictures of the good guys and the bad guys pop up as well. So it was a great way to watch the show. Dr. Schultz.
That's worth watching just to see the freeze frame of the red dot on this assailant's forehead. That was pretty pretty cinematic. It looked like, it was not just a burglary call, but a DV with a knife. That's the information the officers had. It looks like they had given him verbal orders and then redeployed, because you see the initial approach and then you see him kind of talking a little bit and then use the PA to give commands. I often wonder why this is not more frequently seen in some of our standoff situations. It's usually officers just yelling, but you know, I love the PA. And then there was an approach with the shield.
They had a shield.
They were breaking a window, and I don't really understand what the tactical advantage of that is. It was too high for them to get into unless they were going to deploy tear gas, or whether it was a distraction. I really don't know. And then they had the gal, and she was encumbered with this big, less lethal long gun, which I guess had some kind of stun rounds in it or something. She should not have been the first person in on an armed party to begin with. So I'm glad she was able to back off or fail or make that decision. And then the officer with lethal more at hand got in there. Another amazing thing, besides the officer's great headshot, and I know it sounds gruesome and cruel, but that's what had to happen at that moment. Is that the victim is reported was not injured. You know, it looks like she was going to walk away losing half her blood content. But she, other than obviously, you know, what it would do to you to be in a situation like that, she did not have any major incision or stab wounds, which was pretty amazing.
You know, you're right. The that first cop breaking that window, that was loud. I mean, that was audibly loud. And so you're bringing up distraction. I don't know. I do know that when the woman started screaming, he said that he actually saw the bad guy and then he had the elderly woman. So I guess there were drapes there, it looked like. So I guess he was able to peer in and see something that led him to that conclusion, which is when they kicked in the door and charged in. But I was having trouble figuring that one out too. Yeah. Good observation. Dan De La Cruz.
I'm amazed at how this went. It went great. So I'm just going to give it the old chip.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. You know, this agency has some good training. It's nice to see everything go. There's so many things that can go wrong, and especially in something as fluid as this. So you just, you know, it's nice when the training, everything comes together. So I love it. So, this bad guy, we don't need to worry about him anymore. Thank God. So he's dead and gone. So, Dan, this is the story that I expect you to be all over. So if you guys are ready, let's jump to our next one here at rumble.com. Again, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. CCTV. This is how they do it across the pond. Body cam footage shows brothers. And these look, I'm just going to throw it out there. They look like they're probably Middle Eastern brothers assaulting police officers at a Manchester airport. But I'm doing that to set the stage because it can make a difference in a certain environment. And so just like if you're watching the video, you pick up on that instantly. So we're in Manchester, UK. CCTV and police body cam footage allegedly showing three police officers being assaulted at Manchester Airport. And this was being played to jurors. So we're in the criminal process here. Mohammed Fahir Ahmez, he's 20 years old, and his brother, Muhammad Ahmad, 26 years old, so 20 and 26. They're said they've struck out after police were called to the airport on July the 23rd last year, showing one of them, Ahmad, allegedly headbutting a customer at a Starbucks in terminal number 2. So that's what it previously happened. Minutes later, we have our three officers approaching these defendants. They're at a pay station in the terminal's car, in the car park. And so they're oblivious to the uniforms that are approaching them from behind. And so one of the bad guy, the one that ended up headbutting the customer in the Starbucks, he resists officers immediately and they move in to arrest him. And then Ahmad, the brother, intervenes and he ends up sucker punching the cop that was going hands on with his brother. And apparently the cop that got sucker punched has a pretty good memory and does not forget about that action, as you'll see later. So Amez, this is the one resisting. He throws 10 punches, including one to the face of PC Lydia Ward, which knocked her to the floor. So the female goes down. And yeah, it was just a melee. His brother, the one that tried to interfere with the arrest, is then said to have aimed 6 punches at a firearms officer, PC Zachary Marston. And the first one was a sucker punch because he's dealing with the brother and just totally, you know, taken off guard. Amez allegedly kicked PC Marston and struck firearms officer PC Ellie Cook twice with his elbow. And he said that punched one officer from behind, which is the one that I was telling about, and also had a hold of him before another officer discharged her taser. I got to say that she didn't physically engage, but I'm okay with that because the taser that she used was effective enough to get this guy off the cop. And so that's the way it went down. In my notes, I have to mention it because I'm trying to cover everything here. When this is done and the bad guys are down, are Leo, the one that ended up getting sucker punched, she ends up kicking the bad guy that it sucker punched. She ends up kicking him, it looked like, in the head. There may have been another shot at the other one as well after the fact. There were a lot of cheap shots being taken by bad guys. I'm not saying it justifies the cop in doing that. I just know what his mental process was. After this was all went down, he had a little hard time cooling off. But that's the way this went down. The one thing I would have liked to have seen these guys have that could have avoided 90% of the fight would have been the glove. What do you think, Dan?
I agree. And this is the thing I travel around preaching to everybody. The whole goal is to stop the fight as quickly as possible. We've proven it time and time again. When you make contact with these guys, they don't want to fight anymore. And just to avoid that situation, well, you've mentioned it a million times. These guys are human beings. These officers are human beings. They get into that moment, and the longer that goes on, the more emotion is brought into it. And then he stands up and makes an emotional decision to kick somebody in the head while they're sitting on the ground after they've been hit with a taser. Now, which unfortunately, the guys made, the bad guys were wrong. But in the end, they may be okay because this guy made an emotional decision to kick somebody. And that's not what I want to see.
That's a great point. That's another benefit to having the glove. Because this arguably never would have happened. Guys, it's time for our next commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, now it's time to talk about guns at gunlearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and even disciplinary issues. But gunlearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has come up with a deal for police departments and sheriff's offices and the like, and even federal agencies. If you have your own agency, you can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Welcome back, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Joel Schultz and also Dan Dela Cruz from Comply Technologies at complytechnologies.com. And of course, we've been talking about the glove, which is my favorite product, you know, that they have. And guys, we've been talking about this airport melee, where this is in the UK though. So that is that at least, it at least helps the American cops look a little bit better. But look, there were a couple of female cops that were involved in this thing. There was one female that had a taser, which pretty much was used effectively in this. You know, that we cover a lot of videos where tasers are not used effectively. But it did help save the bacon at the end of the day. But this is after a prolonged, protracted fight. And also, Dan brought up a good point from Compliant Technologies that the longer these things go on, the emotions get in the way. And I mentioned that because there's always a human component to what we do. And there was an officer that made some, he responded in an emotional way when he should have been able to turn it off. So he made some responses that he should not have made. And if it would have ended quicker, it would have, I believe, helped prevent him from making those stupid mistakes that could be career ending. And again, there's a human component. So I'm not saying that there's even people that wouldn't. I think everybody is capable of making those kinds of mistakes if they're put in the right situation in certain circumstances. You just want to try to avoid being there, right? And so the glove will actually help keep that from happening. Chief Schultz.
Well, I think that officer probably has some kind of tactical name for that size 10 toe impact stun strike.
The melon kick.
Melon kick, yeah. You know, and you mentioned, I thought that was a good point, that the officer that kind of stood above the fray and deployed the taser, we often are tempted to criticize people that don't get in on a dog pile. But, you know, that's one of those situations where you need somebody on overwatch, because there's, you know, a crowd to worry about. You've already got, you know, X number of hands on a bad guy. So, and I'm reminded of a friend of mine who was involved in a fight, and there was a dog pile of several cops. A Missouri State Trooper rolled up on the scene, and his assistance was to get on top of the hood of one of the police cars and shine a flashlight on everybody so they could see what's going on. And of course, the joke is that the trooper didn't want to get involved in any actual police work, but that's another story. So I think there is there is merit when you get into this cluster kind of mindset that somebody needs to be watching around. And that was a very volatile social environment there at the airport. And by the way, some viewers might say, well, those guys had guns. I thought this was in the UK. Manchester airport cops do carry guns. They're designated so that they can have firearms. But those guys were ready to fight, and they knew how to fight. I mean, the resisting guys. Dan's absolutely right. That whatever they could have done to get in there and get that done right off the bat, if they knew that they were going to arrest the guy, you know, and this is true in a lot of situations, we want to, you know, have a conversation with somebody and maybe get some statements and establish a little bit more information for the case. But if you know somebody's going to have to be arrested, let's just get it done and get it over with. I know it's not always that easy. I've been on both sides of the fence there.
So you said Manchester cops. See, I was under the impression that certain cops there, they had like they designated that one officer as a firearm officer. I was under the impression that certain cops carried the firearms, but that not all of them. But you think they all have access to the guns or
just that Manchester airport detail?
Okay, I got you.
Because that's on the terrorism side, so they are armed.
Makes sense. Okay, all right, excellent. Well, good commentary, guys. Yeah, I tell you, I can't wait to cover stories where we've got agencies, you know, we got the glove being deployed, you know, for vehicle extractions and all this kind of that. I mean, how great would that be? And don't forget about what I said about these air marshals on these planes, Dan. I'm telling you, dude, that is like this video. It's all over the news cycle right now. And it's just that would be the video I would be playing. Doctor with three broken teeth and a busted nose, and the optics were horrible. But moving along here, guys, we've got another video, it's rumble.com. This is Butter again. Baton Rouge police released body cam of a fatal shooting suspect armed with scissors, of all things.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, put the scissors down. Put the scissors down. Put the scissors down. Put them down. Oh, no. Put the scissors down.
Hell, not a woman.
Put the scissors down.
Put him down right now. Put the scissors down right now. Put him down.
So, but remember, we're in Louisiana. So Baton Rouge police, they respond to a disturbance call regarding an emotionally distressed individual. It's 3:40 in the morning, and the person suspected of being under the influence of narcotics. So this story is just getting better and better, right? So according to the agency, officers, they arrive at the scene. They find this guy holding a sharp object, and they attempt to deploy a taser. And the taser, they say, was ineffective, and they had to shoot the male, and he was pronounced dead at the scene. And just looking here at my show notes here, it does say, yeah, this is the guy is shirtless. He's armed with a pair of scissors, and at 5 minutes and 39 seconds, he's doing these stabbing motions, and he's obviously being on narcotics makes sense, because that's exactly what he acted like. It was like some dude on crack. And, but then he makes the mistake of making a move towards the officer. You hear the taser deployed, but everything happens within like a split second. I mean, you hear the taser deploy, and then the lethal, you know, so it goes down like almost at the same time. Commentary on this, gentleman, we've got about 3.5 minutes left. And who wants to take this one first here? Dan De La Cruz.
I'd love to say the glove could solve everything, but listen, if somebody's standing in front of you with a knife, scissors, anything like that, gloves aren't, you're not Iron Man. They're just there to help you when you need it. The guys, they end up doing the right thing when, I believe, so.
Yeah.
And, they don't have to go hands on with an individual with a knife or scissors. I wouldn't recommend it.
You know, I like the fact that you can have the glove on and still put your finger in your trigger guard and go lethal or less lethal, whatever you have to do too. That's a nice option.
And yeah, taser had been somewhat effective where they could move in and remove the threat, or if they had a stun bag and they were able to hit him with a couple of stun bags and make him drop the knife and then go in and grab a hold of him to take the lethal threat away from themselves before going in and going hands on. I don't advocate for anybody to go hands on unless they're forced to in the moment and somebody's jumping on them, or it's a safe environment for them to move forward.
Well, let's cover this last one. Rumble.com. This is Butter. Man fires a flare gun at a Marion County Sheriff's deputy while the deputy's just checking on him, kind of like a welfare thing.
Fuck. Get on the ground now. Get on the ground now.
You know who I am.
Get over here now. 6933. Get over here. Get over here now.
No.
Now.
What did you call him for?
Nothing. I saw you walking on the side of the road, and I was just going to see if you're okay. Get over here.
I'm fine.
Get over here. You already shot a flare gun at me. Get on the ground.
You just lied.
Get on the ground.
No.
Get on the ground. Get on the ground.
Hey, you motherfucker. Rob the fuck out of me!
Get on the ground. I am going to tase you if you don't get on the ground now.
You fucking tase me.
Get on the ground now.
What the fuck for?
Because you shot a flare gun at me.
You are out here to fuck me up.
Get on the ground.
No.
I'm not going to tell you again. I'm going to tase you.
I'm going to take my money.
I'm going to take
leave county.
Get on the ground.
I'm gonna walk in my underwear.
Get on the ground.
I've been walking for 6 days.
Get on the ground.
I just flew back.
Get on the ground. Get on the ground. Get on the ground now, or I'm gonna tase you again. Get on the ground. Get on the ground.
Get the fuck out of here. Here's my fucking money.
Get on the ground.
Cuff me up. In the front. In the front.
Turn around.
Cuff me up.
Turn
you're
around.
Not slamming me in the fucking floor.
I'm not going to slam you.
You cuffed me up. What are you arresting me for? What'd you pull me over for?
But the guy's, you know, the guy's out in the street. So Marion County, Florida, not too far from where I'm at. This guy fires a flare gun towards a Marion County Sheriff's deputy vehicle, and the deputy was just there to check on him. It's 4:20 in the morning on Highway 19, and the deputy stopped to see if this guy, Jacob Caldwell, was okay. Caldwell has no shirt on, fires the flare gun at the deputy's vehicle before walking away, and he refuses to stop. Deputy's giving him commands. Now, some weird stuff goes on, the deputy goes on, hey, he just shot a flare gun at me, and the bad guy continues to act weird because he removes his pants after this, and he starts throwing money at Deputy Mingus before refusing to comply. He finally ends up being arrested after the deputy deploys a taser twice. And the bad guy's facing multiple charges. But the weird thing is that taser deployments are at 2 minutes and 2 seconds, 2 minutes and 30 seconds. And the bad guy, the deputy kind of gets frustrated, right? Nothing's really working really well, including the taser. And the bad guy says, you know, handcuff me in front. And he's telling the deputy what to do. And I'll be, if that deputy didn't freaking comply and start putting the handcuffs on the dude in the front. You know, it was just like he gave in and the bad guy was the guy in charge of this. And I, if there would have been an option for the glove, even for the handcuffing, you know, all he had to do is get a finger. I mean, the guy gave him his hand, but he was not going to be handcuffed in the back. Dan?
Yeah, I agree completely. When that guy reached out, I would have just grabbed him by the wrist, the arm, armbarred him to the ground and got him into a prone, safe position. Once he's prone, we've got time to make things right. But what he was thinking about just trying to put a cuff on somebody with their hand outreached, he's lucky the way it ended. I'm really happy the way it did end, but very dangerous situation.
Yeah, you're right. He is lucky it ended the way that it did because, you know, it really should have ended differently. And, you know, he threw officer safety out the window and he compromised because he didn't want to go hands on with the bad guy. That's what I hated. Another great show. Chief Joel Schultz, Dan Dela Cruz. Dan, do you have a final word you want to throw in there on that one?
No, I'm good. We're good.
All right. The glove, excellent product. And remember, if you're watching the show, if you're hearing about the show, if your command staff, make sure that your, you know, bosses are aware of this, whether you know, you're a chief or a sheriff, it's getting to the point, guys, where you're going to end up going to court. And if you don't have the glove, the judge is going to ask you why. And that's before you guys end up having to pay a multi-million-dollar judgment. So it's out there. The product's going to lower liability and it's just a great tool. And there's no more excuses. I do want to mention the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org, Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in a world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD. Make sure that you consider supporting them. I do on a monthly basis. A shout out to our title sponsor, Galls at Galls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, Dan's company with the glove, Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, and Two Bells. Thanks for the support. We'll see you back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.